Last week, I shared a confession with you, and today I'd like to share one more. When I am preparing my lesson, sometimes I prepare how you're going to respond. I imagine how the audience is going to just be, wow, yeah, amen, woo! I imagined last week that as I share my boat story, that after services, I would stand outside and Timmy or Tommy or Janie or Jill would come by and they would shake my hand. They would reach in for a hug. They would say, Matt, thank you so much for sharing your boat story. I want to tell you, I can relate too. I was doing my taxes and I saw this one little box. And if I checked that, I would have gotten an additional X number of dollars, and I did, and I don't know why, because now the IRS is auditing me, and I'm in great trouble, and I can't believe I did that. Or somebody else would say, Matt, I'm so glad you shared your boat story, because when I was in this situation, I gave in to my temptation, and I did this or that, and I don't know why I did this, but it's so good to know that we're among fellow sinners. But last week, I got a couple of, I know where you can get a good boat. I want to challenge you to be the audience that I imagine you to be. I want us to walk out of here, and it's okay to give a joke. It's fine to talk about the game that's coming up, for sure. It's okay to talk about the weather and the blessings that God has given us. But in this moment, this unique moment, and for you that's online, you've got this opportunity too. You can type, you can share, you can post, you can be involved in us, and we can be involved in your lives as well. We are a family, and let's not neglect the opportunity to be real with one another. I am a sinner, and I am in need of Christ's forgiveness and saving grace. Amen? And let's not ridicule. Let's not make someone feel bad about their mistakes, because I bought a boat that I'll never get to enjoy. But you have done some great things too in the category of bad stuff, right? Then let's rise up, let's stand together, and let's be a family that says, Christ has made a difference in my life. That's what Colossians is all about. Christ in me and me in Christ. And it makes a difference on who I am. It has changed the way that I live. I saw the error of my way, and I will never go back to that. I am dead to that guy who would do anything or thinking that his way was so powerful and mighty. I am dead to all of that, and God, Christ, is living in me. This morning, I want us to understand something powerful in Colossians chapter 4. That is so important for our lives as we finish up. And you maybe have already read ahead and seen Colossians chapter 4 really just talks about a list of names, names that are sometimes hard to pronounce, names that we don't really understand. They don't really have a whole lot of context. And so it just almost seems like we could have cut out a few of those verses and finished up a little bit earlier. I remember a while back I was reading a book and they were talking about Matthew. And if you've ever read Matthew, you start at the very beginning and it's just this long list of begats. So-and-so begat this and that. And in my young mind, I thought, okay, I don't know very many of these people. There's a David, there's a Solomon, there's a few people in here that I recognize. But other than that, I'm having a tough time understanding. But then God took me to a place like Japan where just showing up and telling them my experience, my resume, all the things that I've been able to accomplish in my life really didn't introduce who I was, because in their culture, I am the son of Don Huddleston. And I am who I am because of his parents, Clancy Huddleston and Alan Pryor. And my attitude, my skills, my abilities come to light in the fullness of my heritage. And that's what Matthew was doing as he was presenting the lineage of Christ. And Paul is giving this lineage of his network some names and people that really have been transformed because of Christ. And sometimes we would just whitewash it. Sometimes we will just bypass it. Sometimes we won't give it any attention, but there's some great news in this last chapter. There's some things that really help us to understand. But first, I want us to look at Colossians chapter 4. Start with me in verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2, it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." It needs to be noted and re-noted that Paul is writing while he's in prison. He's shooting this message out of power and purpose, that God has got him locked in a place where he is unable to really go about the life that he wants to. But the purpose that God still has for him is evident by the words that he writes. "That we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." Verse 4, "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the ways that you act towards outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity, and let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Real quick, I want to just share with you a couple things that are these final instructions. That we are to make the most of every opportunity. And Paul real quickly says that we are to make the most of every opportunity by being devoted in prayer. That we should be focused towards this power connection that we have with God. An opportunity to express our heart and to understand Him better as well. Paul's going to say four things. He's going to be saying, faithful in your prayer. Be watchful in your prayer. Be faithful, watchful, thankful, and purposeful in your prayer. He's going to give us purpose and passion as we are living out our prayer lives. This morning, I want to ask you, if Christ is in you, if you are in Christ, why are we so hesitant to participate in regular, powerful, purposeful, watchful, prayerful prayer over and over in our lives? Paul says that this is the signal of connection between him and God. This is a signal of their connection with one another. Pray for me. Pray for one another so that we might be able to accomplish the task that God has given to us in this life. Even though our current situation is not like it should be or could be, we wish we weren't in chains. We wish we weren't affected with this pandemic and the isolation or the social distancing. We wish all these things, but so what? Pray for me that I will continue to live the life that God has intended for me to live. Let us be faithful, watchful, thankful, and purposeful in our prayer. And let us also make the most of every opportunity. As we are devoted to speaking, brothers and sisters, we know so many times in our own lives. Again, all the fingers are pointing to me, but we know in our own lives that we have experienced the greatness of God, His transformation, His grace, His blessings. And yet we sit back and we hold our tongue in the moments of greatest influence in this dark world. Paul is reminding us to be devoted in this. In verse 5, he says, "Be wise in the ways that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." I want to challenge you today to think about this, every opportunity. Imagine God giving you some plays, giving you some opportunities. The door is cracking open, and he's just saying, "Matt, did you notice that person who was right there, that they are in need of this mystery message about Christ? Remember that transformation that happened in your life? Remember those dumb choices that you were making, and now how you've been freed, how you've been set to live a new life? They need that too. Do you see them there at the restaurant? Do you see them there in your office? Do you see them there in your neighborhood? Pay attention to each and every opportunity that I'm going to send your way." And Paul says that we are to be wise, that we are to live this way towards outsiders, that we are to be wise and opportunistic. In my studies, I learned the Latin root words for opportunity. And really, this goes back to, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but ab portum venenes, which really is this sea word, this shipping word. When a ship would come into port, long ago, before they were able to drill down and put anchors into the seabed, when they were unable to build a port way out into the water, they had to build their ports as the water went out. And so at low tide, they would build up the port. High tide would come in and the water would fill, the boats would be able to come in, and they were able to unload or load and take care of business. And so the boats are traveling from port to port, from place to place, and they are waiting offshore for just the right time for the high tide to rise so that there's water around the piers so that the boat's able to come in. And I imagine us in our lives where we go to Bible class, where we're doing our daily study, where we're participating in small groups and all these things, and we're preparing for each opportunity, and the water rises, the opportunity comes our way, and we sail right in, and we deliver the message at just the right time. Imagine that God is masterminding these opportunities. Now, you think that you've got a busy schedule. You think that you've got so much going on. I've got this presentation happening at the end of the week, but Monday, your coworker is in tears, and she's sitting in the coffee room, and the opportunity just seems to rise out of nowhere. Make the most of every opportunity. Let us be those ships that are ready to come in. Let our words be gracious. Let us draw people near to us as we draw them near to the cross. Because we know that Christ in me and me in Christ brings a transformation. And Paul is about to share a few names with us that are unique in what is happening in their life and what's happening in their world. But before we go any further, I want to introduce to you a name that maybe you're familiar with. Tom Vance, if you would come up here. A couple weeks ago, if you were in our Sunday morning class, he shared a story that I thought was just so poignant, that Christ in him and he in Christ brings a new creature. And so often when we gather together, we start to forget who we once were and the difference that God has made. Listen to Tom's story once more.
Morning, y'all. It was mid-December, sometime along there, 1974. I was a 23-year-old man. And I still had about 3 months to do in my tour of duty with the United States Navy. We were on a Mediterranean cruise. We had come into port at Naples, Italy. Not much different from most of the places where we came in and out of port, except Naples had a NATO base. I suspect they still do. But a NATO base meant that there was a place you could go on your time off and do American things with other American people. And that was something that we all kind of looked forward to, even though traveling around was kind of fun too. But so our story begins. It was a Friday because it was payday. Most of the time, not long after payday, I would have been scratching for the funds to do such a thing. And I had made a deal with some of my friends. We would go over off the ship, and we would go to the Navy base. They had an NCO club there, and only military people probably know what that means. And we would do some drinking, which was, after all, our habit of things to do. And so we did. We got off the ship, went over to the Fleet Landing, and we found our way to the NCO Club, where we proceeded to fulfill our vows for the night by drinking, in my case, more than we should. And one of the things that always happened to me when I got into such a state, I blacked out. I didn't know, I have no memory of what was happening in my life at the time. And often when I'd wake up the next day, I had no idea where I'd been, what I'd done, who I might have made mad, or any such thing. And so it was this night. I'm still not sure. I never did ask the guys I was with why I found myself walking home by myself. Down a big sidewalk in a big town, and there was nobody else around. And so right about now, I came to. My memory came back. I was at a crossroads, a big crossing streets, and I began to step off of the curb, well, to cross the street. But at the same time, I began to hear screeching tires. And simultaneously after that, I realized that those screeching tires were very close. And simultaneously, I was hit by a car. And, well, fortunately for me, I fell on the hood of this poor little old European sedan of some kind. And fortunately for me, I had no idea of the Italian language, because the poor guy that was in the car got out, and I'm still not sure if he was more worried about the hood on his car or how I might be feeling at the time. I didn't wait around to find out what all that meant. I took off running like a gazelle, straight to the place where the boats came in, onto a boat, and back to the ship I went. Well, next 3 or 4 days, I spent pondering my life. Thinking about the direction it was taking. Thinking about what might be down at the end of that street I was on. And most of all, wondering what I was going to do about all that. And so after 3 or 4 days of all that, I did the one thing that I thought might be a really good idea at this point. I prayed to God. And I said, God, if you'll help me, if you'll help me get through this, help me to find my way home in a few months, I know that I need to make some changes. And so, it happened. February came, caught a plane back home, all the way back to Greensboro, and I was allowed out I was discharged from the United States Navy, honorably discharged. And I came home. Well, within a couple of weeks, on a Friday night, my brother had wanted me to have a big party. Welcome home, you know how that is. And so, on Thursday, I went by the store where my mother worked. Some of you have been in Winston-Salem long enough to remember that there was a W.T. Grant store once upon a long time ago at Parkway Plaza, and my mother ran the lunch counter at that W.T. Grant store. I went Number one, every young man wants to see his mama, right? Number two, you know what happens every time you go to see mama? She's going to make you something to eat. Well, actually, the climax or the highlight of that story was she had this cute little girl working behind the counter with her. Her name was Peggy. And well, maybe I didn't fall in love at first sight, but somehow I found the courage to ask her to come to my little party on Friday night and be with us during that time. And she agreed. I gave her my address. She found her way there. We had our first night together. She went home early. And I went in the little room where I was living. It was used to be a side porch on the home where my brother lived. I went to sleep. Well, I woke up as she came through the door. There was a door to the outside of the little room I was in. I woke up as she came through the door, and it was probably about 1 o'clock. And I noticed that she had this pretty dress on and had nice shoes and all the other things that, well, you wouldn't wear to a party, of course. I said, "You're so dressed up. Where you been?" She said, I just got out of church." And though I didn't see lights flashing and thunder rolling and lightning striking, but my next words were, "You go to church?" And I remembered the prayer that I'd prayed and the vow that I'd made. So this was Sunday afternoon, and Wednesday night I went to church with Peggy. And well, I will leave the rest of the story to your imagination, but I have a feeling she's outside doing something, trying to help something out, get something ready. If there was not enough help at KFC, that's probably where she's at. For 46 years, she's been the one who reminded me, not verbally, but visually, when I see her. I remember the vow that I made so many years ago with God. And so that's what Matt asked me to do this morning. Thank y'all.
Thank you, brother. Christ in me in Christ, makes a difference in our lives, doesn't it? And if we had time, we probably would hear those stories repeated over and over again in our lives as well. Paul wraps up Colossians by sharing a few names with us. And not to go into all the details, but let me just share with you a few things. Three things. There's a few that are going to stay with him. There's one that's going to be praying with him, and one that's going to be straying from him. I want you to see these names real quick. I want to encourage you to dive deeper into this study and let Colossians really be a light for your life. Those that stayed with Paul, he's going to list out three that are Gentiles. He's going to say Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. Luke is the medical doctor. Luke is the one who is going to write the gospel of Luke that we love and appreciate, the timeline and history of Christ's life. Paul writes about these other two individuals, and we'll talk about them in just a moment, but their faith and their action, their surrounding him in this difficult time, their encouragement and their participation in what God is doing there. There are two or three that are Jews. Go over one more. Help me out back there if you can. And Paul lists out these three. Starting in verse 10, he lists out Jesus, or also Justice John Mark, who will later write the Gospel of Mark, and Aristarchus. And these three individuals and what they are doing, their Jewish heritage, their connection with Paul, gives him encouragement and faith. John Mark is the one that you may remember in Acts. They have this moment where Paul and Barnabas are traveling. John Mark is with them, and John Mark deserts them in Acts chapter 13. It frustrates Paul because of what they are striving to do, the high calling that has been given to them. And then there's an opportunity for that relationship to be restored in Acts chapter 15. And now we see Paul interacting and finding value in John Mark. John Mark going on to write this letter that highlights the life of Christ. These men who surround themselves and participate get highlighted and mentioned. And I wonder, in our lives, do we really recognize those that stand with us, who give us strength in what we do? I wonder, can we really say those that are around us and the value of what they bring to the table? I've shared before that in one of my early interviews with the elders, we were on screen and I asked, tell me about yourselves. And one elder said, well, I don't know how I would describe myself, but let me tell you about Glenn. And they go into talking about Glenn and all of his characteristics and values. And Glenn kind of gets all red in the face. And he says, well, I don't know about that, but let me tell you about Charlie. And he starts telling me all about the details and the values of Charlie. And Charlie gets a little bit red in the face. And he's like, well, I don't know about that, but let me tell you about Tom. And it just goes back and forth as they lift each other up and they recognize who is around them in this work. Paul does the same thing here. And then Paul highlights this one, Epaphras, as the one who prayed. And Paul says he is the one, a servant of Christ, and he sends his greetings. He is wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard. Paul sees in this man some great character of a prayer warrior, and he brings his name to highlight the value of who he is. I've got two friends, and on random occasions, at just the right time and at just the wrong time, they will email or text me. And one will say, Matt, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you today. And it's just the right thing that I need in that moment. And the other one just writes and says, Matt, I want you to know that you misquoted that verse. Matt, I want you to know that you just messed up in that class or whatever. All throughout my life, I get these emails. And just, I value those that are praying for me, who are encouraging me along the way. And Paul brings to mind one brother, Demas. And he highlights, really, that he's staying with him. But in Colossians, that's not the end of the story. For Demas, Paul, in this moment, doesn't know exactly where he's going to be, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 10, Paul completes the story of Demas. Here in Colossians, he's one that's staying with him, one that's faithful, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's one that has deserted, that the world has become more attractive to him, that the Christ in me somehow is no longer of value, and so he lets that go from his life. I want to remind us as we wrap up that we are to be imitators of Christ. We are to be examples of Christ, and let's highlight those that are around us. But in this journey, unfortunately, there are some of us who, for whatever reason, will follow the ways that glitter and shine in this world. They will take what is valuable and eternal and beyond compare, and they will trade it for something that is literally trash. And it will break our hearts as we go through this journey. I pray that in our lives with one another, we will reflect back Christ, that you will model your life after me as I am modeling after Christ. I will pray that I get to participate in a closer walk with Christ because you are in my presence, because I see you striving to live out these principles of Christ in me and me fully in Christ. We are called to be redeemed, to be holy and blameless, Paul says. But then he writes in chapter 1, not only are we called to be forgiven, holy, and blameless, but in verse 23, as he starts off this letter, this great calling, he says, all of this is yours if you will continue. And he ends with this young man named Demas, who is not continuing as we know the rest of the story. Today I want to call you. If you found yourself wandering away from Christ, if you found yourself wandering into this place where the world seems so attractive and inviting to you that the value of Christ somehow is diminished and your excitement, as we talked about this morning, you're feeling like you're just dried up and you have no life or enthusiasm or joy of the Lord, let us join together. Let us pray for one another. Let's redirect our hearts and our minds towards God's Word. Let us see what He is really calling us to be. And let us live a life that is worthy. This morning, our shepherds are standing by. They would love to pray with you and talk with you. This morning, we have our family that is around us to give us encouragement. And as we leave here, let us be real with one another. Let us share those stories like Thomas shared. Let us share our lives, the good and the mistakes, because our God forgives. Our God redeems, and our God gives purpose. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Lord, take my